Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Once again, looking at some of the doctrines of the Catholic Church. No question about it. The one world church of the end times. As you read the book of Revelation, the Catholic Church as depicted as the great harlot, the great whore. The immoral church, I mean, can't we see it in our day how immoral the church is and how rich it is? It's forking out millions and millions of dollars in lawsuits out of its coffers. The average church, you know, may have a hard time meeting budget, let alone having multiple millions of dollars like the Catholic Church has. But trying to look at some of their specific doctrines and how we can see what the Bible says. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. I pray that you would sanctify us through thy word tonight. Thy word is truth. We thank you for that. Truth will set us free. Father, we pray for these Catholic folks around us here and around the world who are in bondage to the sacraments, really to the shackles that shackle them from birth to death to the false church. Lord, I pray you'd set them free. May they hear the truth. May we know how to give the truth to them to refute their errors, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no what? Light in them. No light in them. If they don't speak according to the Bible, there's no light in them. That's the bottom line. Well, we've been looking at the Catholic Church places oral teaching, oral tradition on the same level as the Bible. And then, like we've seen so many times, Mark 7 tells us when we place anything on the same level as the Bible is going to be the loser. And whatever else we set on that plane will be the winner in man's eyes. But let me give you another point here tonight. The Catholic Church does not believe that it is the blood of Jesus Christ alone that saves a person from sin. The Catholic Church does not believe that it's the blood of Jesus Christ alone that saves a person from sin. Let me read some things here to you. This is from the Catholic Information Network. And it's talking about the seven sacraments. I quote, "In ancient Roman days, a sacramentum was a solemn oath which a man took according to law. Literally, the word meant a sacred act, for an oath was considered to be a sacred thing." So, in ancient Roman days, a sacramentum was a solemn oath. So, hence the word sacrament comes from that sacramentum. And it goes on, it says, the early Christians adopted this word. Well, we would take note already, the early Christians didn't talk about sacraments. That was the false brethren that talked about sacraments. But they say the early Christians adopted this word, sacrament, to apply to certain sacred acts of the Christian religion. Acts which were, and here's a key word tonight, acts which were external. Remember when we talked about Lutherans not too long ago? And they said baptism is the external means, the only means to receive remission of sins. The Catholics pick up on that same word. You know, you talk about Martin Luther pulling out of the Catholic Church. Well, you know what? The Lutheran Church is about like the Catholic Church. Not much difference at all. But we'll continue reading. So the early Christians adopted this word, which applied to external signs of some deep spiritual significance. The external acts to which the word sacrament was applied were those which Christ himself had instituted for the sacred purpose of applying to men's souls the grace of his redemption. So external, internal. What's the difference? External's on the outside. Internal's on the inside. Do you have to get saved by something externally given to you? Years ago, we didn't have all the internal medicines. If you had pneumonia, they might put a mud pack on your chest, maybe a mustard plaster or something. And many times it was that way. Medicines were applied from, they were applied externally, not so much internally. We have a lot of pills today. And it seems like most everything, medicine today, it seems like, is internal. If you have something on the outside of your skin, sometimes they may prescribe something external. Many times they'll prescribe something internal. Like our daughter Holly, it seems like if she just walked by a patch of poison ivy, she got it. And so sometimes the doctor then would say, "Oh yeah, it's poison ivy. I've got to give you a pill, an antibiotic." So it's on the outside of the skin, but the doctor gives something internal. Well, so the bottom line tonight is what we're going to see is salvation internal? Is it a decision made on the inside, or is it something you have to receive externally? That's the key tonight. Okay, so they go on and say, the sacraments are seven: baptism, confirmation, holy communion, penance or confession, matrimony, holy orders, and anointing of the sick, or you probably know it better as the last rites. So I continue on. All of them consist of some material facts: water, like baptism, oil in anointing, the last rites, laying on of hands, uttering words. That's interesting. Brother Ken mentioned this in Sunday school this morning about it's kind of become the evangelical sacrament, really, of saying a specific prayer. It's not so much as, well, is that really from the heart? Doesn't It's not so much as, well, was there any repentance? It's just saying a certain set of words. And the Catholics, as we'll see tonight, put a lot on that. If certain specific words are said when you're baptized, that's the key. Your sins are forgiven. So it becomes a magical formula. So it says all of these sacraments consist of some material fact: water, oil, bread, wine, and the Lord's Supper or the Mass. The Eucharist. They all consist of some material fact and some external act: pouring, anointing, laying on of hands, uttering words. All of them, by these means, symbolize the application of Christ's redemptive grace to men's souls and actually confer this grace. So you may say, well, that's a lot of mumbo jumbo. Well, what they're saying is every one of these sacraments involves something material. Think about that. Do we get saved by material means? Do we get saved by external means? Both of those are false. And yet they say that's the only way to get grace conferred to you. Now, the Bible is clear that material things like bread, water, oil, or words pronounced over us do not save us. There's only one thing that saves a soul, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. Notice Colossians chapter 1. You know, in your Bible, somewhere, you need to write down a lot of blood verses. You need to give these to these people, whether it's Lutherans or Catholics. They need to realize it's not some material thing that's they're placed in or on them, but it's the blood of Christ. I think it was Brother Adams was here one time, and he said, who can give me a blood verse to prove that it's the blood of Christ that saves us? Well, there's a whole bunch of them. Look at some of them tonight, Lord willing. Colossians 1, verse 13. Colossians 1, 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of what? Darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have what? Redemption through what? His blood, Even the what? Forgiveness of sin. So, redemption. You may say, well, I don't know what that word means. Well, it goes on to tell you. Redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. When we're redeemed, our sins are forgiven. Our sins are paid for. At the store, you redeem a coupon. It's like money. And when we are redeemed from our sins, the price is paid, and it's through the blood. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And of course, the NIV takes that out. The blood is gone in this verse. In the NIV, it's gone. Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. Some more verses showing that we're saved through his blood. Saved through Jesus' blood. Romans 5, verse 8. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet, what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now, what? Justified by what? His blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified. Justified. The old definition that preachers used to say was, if you don't know what that means, justified means just if I'd never sinned. That's what the blood of Christ does for us. It cleanses us from all of our sin. Just if I'd never sinned. In God's eyes, I'm righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. You notice none of these verses thus far have said anything about being justified through baptism or the Lord's Supper or confirmation. It's through his blood. Ephesians 1, Ephesians chapter 1. Somewhere in your Bible, in the front or in the back or beside some verses, write down these blood verses, these blood-washed verses. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have what? Redemption through what? His blood. The what? Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. I was listening to a tape I was given, and this preacher believes that Jesus had to take our sins with him to hell to complete redemption. I'll tell you something. My Bible says when Jesus died, he said, it is what? Finished. He didn't say, well, in 3 days it'll be finished. No. His blood is what cleanses us. If we are to say that Jesus had to go to hell and suffer 3 days for our sins, then the Catholics are right in purgatory. Well, his blood isn't enough. You do have to go suffer a while. We'll talk eventually about purgatory, but no, it's the blood of Christ. Look in chapter 2, Ephesians 2, verse 12. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being what? Aliens. Do you believe in aliens? It's in the Bible, isn't it? We were all aliens until we got saved. No, we weren't little green men with antennas sticking out of our heads. But we were aliens, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no what? No hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by what? The blood of Christ. So we were aliens. But what got us into God's family was the blood of Christ. Notice in 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. There's a lot of verses that show we're saved by the blood, and that's what Catholics need to hear, that we're saved by the blood. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter 1, 18. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by what? tradition from your fathers. And oh, that's the hang up. Many times, people who are in the Catholic religion, it's because, you know, their parents, their grandparents, and we're in it. It's all tradition. So we are not, the Bible says in verse 18, we're not redeemed with those things. Verse 19 says, but with the precious what? Blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. It's the blood. The blood. And people say, why? Why? Well, because the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Leviticus 17:11 says, the life of the flesh is in the what? The blood. The wages of sin is death. The life of the flesh is in the blood. So blood had to be shed to make the payment for our sins, and it had to be righteous blood, or obviously it does no good. So what if we kill ourselves for our sins? Our blood is already tainted. That will not do any good. It won't do any good at all. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the what? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, does what? Cleanseth us from what? All sin. Went over that with the guys last night at the sheriff's camp there. It's the blood that cleanseth us from what? All sin. And they picked up on it too. Toward the end, I says, what is it that cleanses us from all sin? The blood. The blood, not the baptismal waters, not communion, not confirmation, not getting married, not getting buried. They shackle people from birth to death. They want to baptize the babies into the Catholic Church. As soon as there's a marriage, they want that marriage in the Catholic Church by the priest, so they can make sure those children that will be born to that family are raised Catholic. I mean, it never ends. Never ends. But this says it's the blood that cleanses us from all sin. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. You see, they can't deny all these verses. They may try, but you know what? There's verse after verse after verse proving it's the blood. It's the blood. Why is salvation secure? Because it's the blood of Christ. It is not dependent upon our blood, upon our good works, but his blood. Revelation 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and what? Washed us from what? Our sins in the baptismal tank. What does it say? In his blood, in his own blood, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's very clear. It says nothing about baptism. It says nothing about taking mass. Look in chapter 5, Revelation 5. It's the blood. Over and over and over, it's the blood of Christ that saves us. Revelation 5, verse 9. Revelation 5, 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy what? Blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I don't know if we'll get to it tonight, but I have some quotes from the Catholics about, well, this is right in their book of catechisms. I can give you the catechism number, but, those people who never actually got to hear the gospel and never actually did get baptized, they're okay if, you know, they did the best they could, and we'll just presume that if they would have heard the gospel, they would have accepted it, and we'll presume that if they would have known how important baptism was, they would have gotten baptized. Well, if that isn't ridiculous, I mean, why even try to reach him then? Let's just presume everybody would accept it. Well, the Bible is clear that not everybody accepts it. The majority doesn't. Brother Jim had a good message on that at Extended Care. The crowd does not accept the gospel and never have. So, redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. There's only one way to get saved in every kindred, tongue, and nation, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. The book of Hebrews is a good book to refer to the blood. Hebrews chapters 9 and 10, but Hebrews 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9, 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own what? Blood, he entered in what? Once into the holy place, having obtained what? Eternal redemption for us. I talked to the guys last night about if they had any tools, craftsman tools. And I said, why did you buy craftsman tools? And one of the guys said, because they're guaranteed, warranted forever. Well, we know craftsman tools are not going to last forever. Because one day this earth's going to burn, and so are craftsman tools. They're going to melt with fervent heat. But they'll warranty them as long as they stay in business, I guess. But it's the blood of Jesus Christ, not of goats. It's the blood of Christ that obtains eternal redemption for us. Salvation can't be lost because it's based on his blood. Look in verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ? You know, in the Old Testament, they took the red heifer and burnt it. And the ashes they would put apart in a clean spot. And they would use that for the water of purification to sanctify certain things. And that's what verse 13 is referring there. You know, if this can sanctify fleshly things and set them apart for God, and that's his animal blood. And by the way, the Jews searched and searched for the red heifer. They'd lost track of that, but they found one several years ago and have been breeding the red heifer. And they needed that to, when they make their temple, to set apart these things in the temple, and they have the red heifer. More than one now. So many things are coming together for the end times. So that's what that's referring to there. But also in chapter 9 here, look at verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with what? Blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. And on down through here, it goes about his sacrifice. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Okay, so, you know, these are some verses on the blood. It's the blood of Christ. Okay, let me give you some more quotes here, or look at these again. Now it says, the external acts to which the word sacrament was applied were those which Christ himself had instituted for the sacred purpose of applying to men's souls the grace of his redemption. So they're saying, the Catholic's saying, oh yeah, salvation is by grace, and this is why you have to define your terms. The cults most generally use Christian words, but redefine them. If you were to go up to a Catholic and say, do you believe you're saved by grace? If the Catholic knew what he or she was talking about, they'd say, sure, I've been baptized. I was saved by grace. That's an external grace. That's how grace was given to me through this external means and through material water. As I mentioned once again, all of them, these sacraments, consist of some material fact, water, oil, bread, wine, and some external act. So a material fact and an external act, that's what they say. Pouring, anointing, laying out of hands, uttering words. All of them by these means symbolize the application of Christ's redemptive grace to men's souls and actually confer this grace. If you've ever been to a college graduation, whoever's handing out the degrees will say, "I now confer upon you the Master of Education or the Doctor of Theology." So they confer upon this person. And that's what the Catholics are saying. These sacraments confer upon these people God's redemptive grace. It saves them. So do you get the significance of that word, of those words? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1. Does baptism confer upon us the grace of God? Does that water save us? Does that Trinitarian formula, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit," does that save a person from sin? No. 1 Corinthians 1:17. 1 Corinthians 1:17. "For Christ sent me not to" what? "Baptize, but to preach" what? "The gospel." Baptism is not part of the gospel. Baptism pictures the gospel. It's not part of it. When Jeremy and Julie got married, Sam and Holly got married, we got some wedding pictures. But you know what? In fact, actually, when they got betrothed, I think we took some pictures of all of them too. But you know what? Just because you got a picture of two young people that are engaged, it doesn't mean they're married. And just because you have, you know, a picture of a married couple, the picture might get destroyed. So baptism was not a part of the gospel. It's a picture. Baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection. Death to the old life of sin. Resurrection to a new life in Christ. It's just a picture. You can get married without having pictures. I mean, you can get married. It's legal to get married without a photographer present. You know? You can do it. You're probably going to want some to capture those memories. But, I mean, it's not a prerequisite. It's just the frosting on the cake, you know, so you can remember. So, in the same way, 1 Corinthians 1:17, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." And this is not belittling baptism. It's just giving us a clear distinction. It's a verse to show us they're not one and the same. Looking at Romans 3 and verse 22. Romans 3:22. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His" what? "His blood, to declare His righteousness for" the what? "Remission of sins." It's not our righteousness. "To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God." And it goes on again. "To declare," I say at this time, "His righteousness." If you can't get saved without some material substance being put on you and without some external act toward you, if that's the only way to get saved, there are a multitude of scriptural portions which mean absolutely nothing and would directly contradict that. Let's go to Luke 23. Luke 23. Luke 23. And verse 40. Well, let's start in verse 39. Luke 23:39. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." You see, it's more than words. You know, some people put out to lost sinners, "Hey, just try it. Just try it for a while, you know. Say the prayers. See if it works. You know, if it doesn't, you know, go on, live your own way. That's not salvation. Is that what Peter said? Jesus said to him in John chapter 6, to the 12, will you also go away? And Peter said, what? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You know, when the Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, that's not considering the fact of unbelief. But I've heard people say that to lost sinners. Well, hey, just try it. You know, try it. Try it. Is that like trying a potato chip? See if you like it. If you don't, you don't want any more. Well, I guarantee you, in the flesh, they won't like the Christian life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Psalm 34:19. Taste it. Well, we saw this morning when you taste of the Christian life, it's death to self. It's being set at variance with your friends and family. If someone comes at it with that attitude, well, I don't know if I want the Lord or not, but I guess I can say a prayer and see if it works. See if it unlocks some magical door. Now, this guy says, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. See? You could say, well, he was saying the words. Hey, if you're Christ, save us. If. That's the key, if. If. Hey, Jesus, if you're the Savior, save us all. Take us down. It's more than words. You see, he had no repentance. Now, verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God? See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 9:10. Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed, what? Yeah. Justly. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7:20. This thief was repentant. We're dying because of our sin. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done what? Nothing amiss. You know, sometimes, because the thief ends up saying, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And so some people lead people in a prayer. Do you want to get saved? Just say, Lord, remember me. Well, that is not all that went on here. You see? He confessed he was a sinner and that Jesus was perfect. Verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. People don't grasp what that meant. Imagine yourself hanging on one of three crosses, and one of the other people is dying, and you're saying to him, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know what that's confessing? That's confessing that grave isn't going to hold this one down. This one is going to rule and reign, and I believe it. And I want you to remember me. I know I'm a sinner. I confess that you are perfect and that you are going to rule and reign. You are going to rise from the dead. Well, that's much more than trying to have people say, well, you want to be saved, just say, Lord, remember me. This repentant thief said much more than that, the whole context here. So Jesus, verse 43, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, what? Today shalt thou be with me in where? Paradise. How is Jesus going to go to hell for 3 days, 3 nights? If he tells the thief, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Today. You're not going to spend time in purgatory. Listen, if there was a purgatory, this guy would be a candidate, would he not? He was dying on a cross. Why? Because he was a thief. Hey, he couldn't make restitution, as the Bible teaches. If anyone deserved purgatory or a temporary hell, this guy deserved it. Jesus said, you're going to be with me today in paradise, today. So the Catholic dogma here, the Catholic belief, makes no sense. If the only way to be saved is through the external means of baptism, Lord's Supper, and so on, then how could Jesus say to this guy, today you'll be with me in paradise? Look in John chapter 3. Is salvation internal or external? How do you receive it? John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And would you also hold your place there, turn to Numbers 21. Numbers 21. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel were constantly murmuring. Constantly. And so the Lord sent some fiery serpents among them. Numbers 21, verse 4. Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel what? Died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a what? A pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he what? Looketh upon it, shall what? Live. Look in John 3 now. Based upon that event. John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the what? The serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever what? Believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What did they do in the Old Testament to get healed? They just looked. If they just looked at the serpent on the pole, they lived. And the Bible likens that here to Jesus hanging on the cross. If you look in faith, you'll live. Your sins will be forgiven. Let's look at another one, Acts 10. Acts 10. So it's internal. It's faith. It's not something external. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Acts 10, 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, and then he begins to preach a message to Cornelius and his friends. And then in verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And so then the Jews are amazed. These people got saved. Peter didn't baptize them. That didn't come until later. Verse 49, 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? You know what? It was an internal thing, an internal thing. Well, our time is up, but let's go to Romans chapter 10. Salvation is an internal decision. There's nothing external you can put on someone to save them. Can't do it. You know, you can put all kinds of home remedies on the outside of someone, and it's never going to wash away their sins. Romans 10, verse 8. Romans 10, 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of what? Faith. It's the word of faith, which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in where? Thine heart. That God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. What does the preacher say in a wedding? Does he say, I now pronounce you to husband and wife, and then does he go through all the vows? Or is it vice versa? It's vice versa. He goes through all the vows. These people vow to take each other as husband and wife. Then the last thing he does is, I pronounce you husband and wife. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then goes on in verse 14, how are they going to call if they've never heard? Well, we're going to have to stop there, but there's many more things that we can look at. But salvation is internal. It's an internal decision. It's not external. And you know what? If it was external, then who do you have to look to get it? Some person, some man. And that's how the cults always control people. You know, they're the ones who always hold the keys. The fact of the matter is people can hear the gospel and get saved. People can listen to the radio and hear a gospel message and get saved. It's an internal decision. And what cleanses us from all sin? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we know that false doctrine abounds. And Lord, we know that deceitful words abound. They use the word grace, and it's not grace at all. It's an external act with material things, water, oil, wine, bread. Oh, Lord, I pray you'd help us to be able to reach these people who have been deceived by such a corrupt religious organization. Lord, help us to be able to reach them. Help us, Lord, to know in our hearts these verses to talk about the blood, that it's the blood that forgives our sins. Lord, help us to have an answer for these people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take